Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
What up, Andrea?
What's up?
First of all,
I'm still struggling, but I'm not coughing this week.
Yeah, Andrea's sitting here in pure white. She's got the. That's kind of giving like
sophisticated
scandal. It's giving
Olivia Pope.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here to save the world.
Yep. And I won't even talk about what your hair looked like this morning versus this afternoon.
What you talking about?
Dre has so many looks. I love it. I love it.
I mean, I don't care. I'll talk about it.
It's okay. No, we don't have to talk about it. Okay. It's okay.
I'm okay. I'm trying some new things.
Yeah, I love that about
you. Okay, for the listeners, I will talk about it.
Okay.
I came in the office today with a wig on, a curly wig.
Yep. That was very realistic to her actual hair.
It is in color, in length, and in texture if my hair were curly. In fact, the style of the wig, I had my own hair styled that way earlier this week. You weren't here, so you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of days, it just didn't look like that anymore. So
you wanted that old thing
I was like, what do I have time to do today?
Yeah.
So I decided that while I'm trying some of these wigs that I own.
Okay.
I try them out when there's nothing to lose. I'm like, I'm just going to the office. A couple of Zooms. It looks fine on Zoom. But it got hot. It got tight. And I just couldn't.
Wigs get tight?
Yeah, because there's elastic. But I've learned so much about wigs in the last year. I keep buying them.
And barely, I'm barely wearing them.
Yeah. They are for emergencies when I need to look pulled together, but there's no time to pull it together.
Yo, I know someone that wears so many wigs that like she's got major scalp issues. Like, cause your scalp needs to breathe. Like she wears wigs like 24/7, 365. Like
there's a certain type that you buy, like that I buy.
Yeah.
Human hair. You got to take care of your own hair underneath. You can't just throw them on. Like, if you do it right, there's a whole process and you're protecting your hair.
But the interesting thing about women, y'all will literally cover up hair and put the same type of hair on top.
Yes. Like, yes, we will.
That's like interesting. Cause like
it all depends on what is your reason.
I'm not judging
what is your reason for wearing a wig?
And dudes are doing all kinds of wizardry to their hair nowadays, but like I'm not gonna come in with a wave, like with a brush cut, and then put an extra brush cut on top. You know, I might do other things,
right? Because it's already a brush cut, which is easy.
Yeah.
So I can only speak for myself. Some women wear wigs because they want a whole different look, or they want a look that they cannot achieve with their own hair.
Yeah.
That is not my reason for wearing wigs.
Yeah.
My reason for wearing wearing wigs is quite the opposite. I am very fortunate to have a head of long, thick, healthy hair, which takes, and I'm natural, meaning I don't chemically straighten my hair.
Yeah.
And so it takes a long time to make it look like anything. I don't care whether I wear it curly or straight.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when it's time for wash day or it's time to do something, there is just no time to do all the things that it takes so that it looks good. Or you put in that time and energy to make it look good, but then, you know, humidity or rain or sweat or something, and that look is gone. And you've spent 2 to 3 hours to achieve a look that's only going to last 2 or 3 days.
And I'm not mad at you.
So it's a convenience thing.
Even though Five Dog said, if you can't braid it, then you might as well fade it. If you can't achieve it, then you might as well just weave it.
That's okay. It's all good. I got another one.
You tell him Diane made it.
Oh my gosh, he's not going to stop.
Okay, I'll stop.
So I have another one like the one I wore earlier today that I think is going to look even more realistic. So, but I'm not going to tell you when I have it on.
Okay. And I'll just be guessing every day I see you. Like, is that a
win? I'm just going to keep changing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I am right now.
That's cool.
All good.
All right. We're going to get into our show, but I do want to say I'm reading this awesome audiobook. I guess I'm listening to it technically, but I feel like in my spirit I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good. It is called King of Ashes.
Hmm. And what inspired this reading?
Random. I don't read fiction ever. Somebody posted about it and I was like, huh.
New segment of the show?
Yeah, I'm just going to check out this audiobook.
No, I mean, just we're going to do a book review or what are we reading now?
We may. This book has me in a chokehold. Like, I'm literally doing nothing but listening to
this book. Is it fiction? Like, what? Yeah, it's fiction. Give us something.
All right. The book is about a successful young Black financial advisor. And he runs his own firm in Atlanta, catering to celebrity clients, rappers, athletes, and the like. And he learns that his dad was attacked and is in the hospital. So he has to go back to his hometown in Virginia and figure out what's going on. And then mayhem ensues.
So this is nonfiction.
No, it's fiction.
It's fiction. Okay.
What reeled me in is like young Black financial advisor.
Of course. Yeah.
Like that's what got me. The writing is so good. It's being read by Adam Lazar White. He's an actor. He used to be in soap operas years ago.
Okay. The name sounds familiar, but I'm not getting a face. But that's okay. I'll look him up.
He was Flynn in The Temptations. All right. So he was the one. Remember when David Ruffin?
Oh, yeah. That's Nate from Young and the Restless.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or Alonzo from Living Single.
Yeah.
But you don't know nothing.
No, when I know The Temptations, when David Ruffin was getting on drugs and he had his homeboy that was his pusher.
Okay.
It was my man, Adam Lazar White. But he does such a good job. Like, he's an excellent actor. He's he's an acting coach.
You said Black soap actor. I'm like, there's not that many. I gotta know him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either way, his portrayal of all the characters is so good.
Okay.
The story is so good. The writing is so good. So check it out.
Got to. And now I won't forget his name.
The King of Ashes. All right. So I got an email from a client this week.
You didn't ask me what I was reading, but that's okay. Oh. We'll save that for next week.
What are you reading?
No, we'll save it.
Besides the Wall Street Journal, The Economist, and Barron's.
We'll save it.
Okay. So I got an email this week from a client that said a new rule is going to affect next year that's going to impact me with regards to my 401k contributions. Is this true? And I was like, you know what?
Is the rule true or is the impact on him true?
It's a her, first of all.
Okay.
We have female clients,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know.
All right.
We might have to go.
We got to go figure it out. Yeah, we're going to figure it out. Who has more female clients as a percentage of their business?
I'm really
curious
about
this. Like, you probably have more clients than I do.
But percentage-wise.
Yeah.
Let's
come back to that.
Let's unveil that next week.
Yes.
I'm really curious.
I am, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm like, look, I can just write a reply to the email or, because we're full-service financial advisors, comprehensive wealth managers.
Yep.
We're going to do a whole podcast episode about all the big changes that are coming to people's old 401ks.
Yep.
Because there's a lot changing.
Yes.
Like, our government is in flux right now. It's closed, first of all.
But yeah.
Things are changing and...
Like, can it be in flux if it's closed? It's just closed.
So it's not just this issue of catch-up contributions to your 401k being treated differently. But, you know, it's a number of different things. So we'll talk about the 401k and the new rules of the 401k a little bit. So as we always do, we start with data.
Stats.
This first stat, unbelievable for me. Okay. 6 out of 10 people who are not enrolled in a 401k plan at their job think they are.
That can't be possible.
There was a survey. They surveyed 1,000 workers of various ages, races, and income. They only surveyed people who were at companies that had 401ks, who were not enrolled in the 401k. And they asked them, if you were enrolled, what's your contribution percentage? And 6 out of 10 thought that they were in. Not only did 6 out of 10 think they were in the plan, they went on to say that they were allocating anywhere from 5, 8, or 10% to the 401k.
Andrea, so if this is true, this is sad. But I don't see how is this possible? This had to be a company that maybe also has an old school pension, and they don't know the difference between the 401k and the pension. I don't see how
it
that
was multiple companies. They asked 1,110 workers.
I want to see
who
this.
They specifically
I see this
knew.
Population.
They specifically knew they weren't enrolled.
There was something wrong.
To me,
okay, but let's go with it. Let's go with it.
I think it's just like,
it's a benefit. We have one.
It's like,
and I think if they have, the company has one, that they're in it.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, it kind of shows how little in general we know about our retirement.
6 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
First of all, I feel like that's like the Tuskegee experiment.
Somebody's
like,
playing with, like, with that AI prompts to make this be the outcome.
I feel like it's wrong to even run this survey.
Yeah.
It's like Tuskegee experiment. Like, they just have people sick and just not helping them, just running tests on them. Very wrong. Very
wrong.
This
is unbelievable.
So clearly those people are going to struggle with their retirement readiness.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad laughing at this. This is so bad. Okay, so I know we usually save our advice for the end.
Okay.
But we're what, 7-8 minutes in to this show? Alan cannot stop laughing. If you think that you are enrolled in your company's 401k plan,
mm-hmm.
please do yourself a favor and go confirm.
Yeah.
And you may be saying, well, how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first place you can check is your paycheck.
Yeah.
Look at your pay stub.
I ain't reading all that.
And see if you see a certain amount of money coming out going towards your 401k plan.
I see FICA. That's 401k, right?
And it's not.
Hmm.
It will probably say,
I see,
salary deferral, or it might straight up say 401k. But it mm-hmm. would be an amount that's being, because the contributions have to come from your salary. It's salary deferral only.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is go to your benefits department or your contact, HR, whatever it's called, and find out if you are in fact enrolled or not.
Yeah.
I need
yeah.
less people to wrongly believe that they're enrolled when
the
they're not.
The thing that's crazy though, Andrea, like, all right, I thought I was in the plan, but I'm really not. All right. That can happen. Let's just say that could happen. But how are you going to have a percentage that you think you're contributing to the plan?
Right.
Yeah, I'm at like 8% right now.
Right.
We have a 5% match, so I'm at 5%.
I just can't. Right. Maybe that's what it is. Like, they know what the match is.
And they just think they did it, or they forgot, or they didn't push the last button, or the paperwork got like lost. I don't know.
I'm baffled.
Yeah.
I'm baffled.
So,
okay.
Endemic of a bigger problem. Like, we are not ready for retirement. We've not learned enough about our 401k. And so today we're just going to talk about the big changes coming to the old 401k. So change number one, and this already happened, and hopefully this will help those 60% of people who think they're in the plan but are not. There's a new rule that says if you're an employer with more than 11 employees, then that company has to automatically enroll you in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is that companies that have this automatic enrollment situation, participation is now up to like 94% versus 60 something percent of the time.
I like that. You have to opt out.
Yeah.
So that would reverse that statistic, right? Like,
yeah,
people who think they're not enrolled in a plan, but they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Other changes. Auto escalation. So for folks who were automatically enrolled, the contribution rate must increase by 1% per year until it reaches 10% of earnings.
Also like this, some people feel like it's a violation of their rights, but you can opt out.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, remember we were doing the retirement like seminar and we had like, it was like a cheat, what was it? Increasing, it was like Stubborn Sam.
We had, oh yeah, it was like three different people.
Yeah, Increasing Erica, whatever.
Yeah. Like, I do remember that.
And the auto escalation.
Because I decided Sam was Samantha.
Correct. Yeah.
Can't let the boys win every time.
But Sam was stubborn. Like, that was not the good one.
Maybe
it was Super Sam. That's what it was. It was Super Samantha.
Whatever it was.
Either way, the one who was increasing their percentage every year actually did really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as well as the person that started at 10% and stayed at 10% for their whole career.
Yeah.
Next, and this already started, there are enhanced catch-up contributions called super catch-ups. These are for folks who are between 60 and 63 years old, allowing them to contribute an extra $11,250 instead of just $7,500 on top of their maximum contribution of like $23,000.
Yep.
So that's a new one.
Yep.
Okay.
Still might be too little too late for some people, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Catch-up. Carla, she can now do $11,250 on top of maxing out.
Catch up, Carla.
She's happy about that.
Yep.
Now, I hope there's nobody that thinks they're in the plan, maxing out, and putting a catch up contribution in, and they're doing none of that.
That you would have to notice. Like, if you don't notice that, you either make too much money.
Yeah.
Or there's other issues.
I don't think I've ever made too much money.
I don't.
Have you?
No.
I would like to one day.
Not at all.
Yo, one of our clients today was like, oh, you weren't on the Zoom yet. You missed this. But she was like, so where's your vacation home? I'm like, oh, my college tuition is covering those expenses
right
now.
Yeah, it's like, in the village and.
Yeah, my vacation home is at NYU and this other university.
Yes.
Where my daughter goes to school. Mm-hmm. That's where my vacation home is.
Exactly.
Right now. Is mm-hmm. that where yours is up in Cornell, your vacation home?
In Providence, yeah. Still is.
Yeah.
And he graduated and it's still in my vacation home. It's still up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's living in it.
Yeah, I love that client, by the way. Okay. So, other changes. Employers can now opt to make their matching contributions Roth contributions.
I like it.
It used to be that they would only put them into traditional 401k buckets.
Mm-hmm.
When I say traditional, I mean the ones where you get the tax deduction and then it grows and it's tax deferred.
I always love more options.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other changes we've talked about, we talked about this on the show already in the past, but you can now do a one-time penalty-free emergency withdrawal of up to $1,000 for any immediate or unforeseen expense.
Yes, but you got to pay it back.
And you got to
pay it back. In 3 years.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's relative, right? It could be a lot of money to someone.
Yeah. We hope you don't have to do it, but
yes.
It's an option there for you.
But it's such a small amount relative to 401k savings, hopefully, that I'd be curious to see how many people are using that.
Well, the thing is, there's that study that said that 40% of Americans couldn't cover a $400 emergency.
Right.
So I think they're really trying to attack that crowd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Andre has another wig on.
He's lying.
This one. Blonde.
Stop it. So this is what we're going to do now. I'm going to, with each look, we're going to do a photo and be like, guess which one is a wig? Guess which one is her hair?
Because
I've had my own hair styled several times where people were like, is that you?
Yeah, the thing about your wig today is like you're sitting in front of a picture with the same exact hair, but it's your own hair. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about this podcast format, because we're not on video, like I could, like if I say that you're wearing a blonde wig that's crooked, like people are going to believe it because they can't see. So that's the image that I've left y'all with. You're welcome.
Not wearing a blonde wig right now.
That's crooked.
But I got one. No, I'm kidding. I don't. Anyway, so let's talk about the rule that your client reached out to you about.
Yes.
So there's a new rule that's going into effect next year that affect high earners. So people who earn over a certain amount, I think it's somewhere around $145,000.
Mm-hmm.
And also make catch-up contributions in their 401ks.
So there's three things that need to have happened. One, you've got to be making over $145,000 per year. Two, you've got to be at least 50 years old. Then you qualify for a catch-up contribution.
That's right.
And when I say catch-up, I don't mean packets of ketchup.
Like, ketchup with a C.
Yeah.
Catch up.
Yes.
Not ketchup.
I saw this really horrible post today on Instagram.
Gosh.
This guy, he was dressed head to toe in like red and white. He had like a Bulls jersey, like red and white Jordans on. And it was like ketchup, like like double entendre, like like y'all got to catch up to my style and I'm rocking the ketchup.
Wow. Bit.
Either way, the ketchup we're talking about here is the $7,500 extra you can put in after maxing out at $23,000, or the $11,250 extra you can put in after you've maxed out the $23,500 that you can put in to the 401k. So if, and only if, all three of those things apply, the new rule is that that catch-up amount goes into a Roth 401k.
Yeah, so that means that the money that you're putting in towards the catch-up contribution, there's no tax deduction on it like it would be for the pre-tax version.
Mm-hmm.
So it's after-tax savings.
And it grows tax-free.
Yeah.
Which maybe current age you doesn't appreciate, but old you is going to love.
Future you will be happy.
Yeah, future you.
But we like this, right? We talk about asset location all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And having investments that are treated differently for tax purposes in different types of accounts. We like even your retirement savings, your future dollars. We like to have some diversification. And we're not just talking about assets or the underlying investments. We're also talking about the tax treatment of all these different types of accounts.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, what I find, and I'm sure you see the same thing, most people are sort of overweighted to traditional 401k.
Yes.
Assets, right? Like
if
they've got $1 million saved, $800K might be in tax deferred accounts.
Right.
Which means that money is not all yours.
I was going to say, inspired the episode title, That Ain't All Your Money.
Yeah. And so you want some asset location diversification. When we say location, we simply mean the tax treatment on those assets. So there's things we like about this, things that we don't like about it. Like I think Andre hit a couple of the pros. We like that. We always like Roth. Roth is the man. Like Roth is a great account to have. But the flip side is, yeah, you lose the tax deduction. And if you're making over 145, you're probably in a higher tax bracket. And that just means that you're paying tax on that money at a high tax bracket.
Yeah. So you're still saving.
Mm-hmm.
You're still saving money for yourself. You're still saving money on taxes, most likely.
Because of the growth.
Mm-hmm. And then, because I'm thinking about the reasons, like why would these changes be made? Let's think about it.
Yeah, they just need more money.
The government needs some revenue.
Close the budget gap. And the tariffs ain't going to do it.
Because they got to pay the people who closed the government. They still got to get paid.
They're basically taxing y'all jokers over 50. I can still say y'all jokers for
a little bit. Okay.
I can still say y'all jokers
let's,
over 50.
Let's ease up on the y'all.
For 18 months, I get to say that. But the government is basically saying, look, we're going to tax y'all. Like y'all might be late for saving for retirement, but that ain't my fault. We're going to make you pay tax on it.
We letting you catch up.
Yeah, we letting you catch up. You got your Jordans on,
yeah,
red and white J's.
Give us our portion.
You see what I'm saying?
You don't get to wait for that.
The only thing I don't like about it is just like they're making you do it like this. Like I like the option to do stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like anybody making me do something.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean,
at the same time, I'm not going to tell you not to do it because they're making you do it. Like meaning like,
yes.
I'm not going to say don't make a catch-up contribution because they're making you put it into a Roth.
Right.
I'm saying it. Optimistically, the way Andrea first put it, they're giving you more optionality as to where your money ends up so that you've got more location diversification in retirement, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's so the bright side.
So does that make a case? This is really going to get into the weeds on asset location, but does that also make a case for maybe taking those same after-tax dollars and putting them in, I don't know, a brokerage account where you have more control? Could you be subject to capital gains tax? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the option to invest in different things that you cannot invest in inside the plan.
But what you said is correct. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to play a counterpoint.
It's all good.
If you're making over 145K, you really don't have access to a Roth. Except for
also true.
In a Roth 401k.
That's also true. Because like you earn too much to...
Yeah. Because we have a bunch of clients doing Roth conversions right now. Like they're high income earners and they can't make any contributions. They've got these big IRA balances and they're like, yo, can you help me convert? Because I think it's worth paying the taxes now to get tax-free growth for the next 20 or 30 or 40 years, right? So like the fact that they're making us do this, yeah, I don't like someone putting a gun in my head, but like the thing they're making you do is actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm not mad at it.
And you're helping the government now.
Yeah, you're being patriotic.
Yeah. Ooh, we're going to get some flag for that.
I just wonder if the Confederate flag is coming back. I was just in South Carolina, which is one of the last places where it hung in the Capitol.
Mm.
And I enjoyed not seeing a Confederate flag.
You enjoyed not seeing
it? Yeah, just hope they don't come back. Like they're really throwing everything at us right now.
I mean...
Yeah, I saw...
It just wasn't up in the places you went.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen them in South Carolina, not on a government... I was at the government building.
Yep.
I've seen them on trucks. I've seen them on t-shirts, buttons.
You don't have to go to South Carolina to see them.
Lord.
Anyways.
Yeah. So this next one is pretty big, and it's controversial. And Wall Street is excited, and you know, anytime Wall Street gets excited, I get scared. I get leery. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this one. So this summer, our president, who shall remain nameless, insert laughter. Our president, who shall remain nameless, he signed an executive order basically clearing the way for 401k plans to own private equity, cryptocurrency, real estate, and other alternative assets. So this one is interesting.
How do you personally feel about this?
Okay. I'll keep it real. I worked at Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
And Goldman, when I was there, was the largest manager of private equity and hedge fund assets in the world. One of, if not the. And I saw one fund after the next blow up in the period of, let's just say, 2006 to 2010 is when all the blowups really happened. Mm-hmm. There were hedge funds that blew up. There were private credit funds. There were private real estate funds. And I walked away from that experience saying, I don't really think it's worth it to be in some of these private investments. Mm-hmm. Not all, but some.
Yeah.
Because when these things are blowing up, there's nothing you could really do about it as an investor.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes things are blowing up and there's like a capital call structure where you commit, let's say, $1 million or 100,000, and they call 30% this year, 30% next year.
Yeah.
And you might already see it's blowing up, but you're already committed and you can't get out
of
it.
You can't get out.
Like, it's like a bad feeling. So it's funny. So I, at Momentum, when
you're nerding out, by the way, but it's okay. I'm with you, but you know, it's okay.
I'm nerding out.
Somebody's going, what's a capital call?
Yeah. And we'll get into what private equity is too.
It's fine.
By the way. So when I started Momentum, I basically said, look, I'm never doing private equity ever again. Mm-hmm. Eventually, through much arm twisting, my partners convinced us to start doing it again. And we invested in a couple funds. Some did well, some didn't do well. And, you know,
that's how investments go.
That's how it goes. So what's my feeling? I like that folks have additional options. I'm curious about how it's actually going to be presented. I wonder if it's going to be like pushed into people's accounts and they don't even know it's there. And I know it's going to fatten Wall Street's pockets. How do I know this? My old employer, Goldman Sachs, just bought a $1 billion investment into T. Rowe Price, which is one of the largest 401k providers in the country, exclusively to try to get access to their retirement plan so that they can push private equity into those plans.
How did I miss that headline?
I don't know, but it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew about the private equity, the executive order or whatever.
Yeah.
The legislation. they sound like they're all the same thing these days. I knew about that, but I had not. Oh, I missed the Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, bet money. Yeah, bet money. You're going to see more and more, like Blackstone will probably do a deal
with somebody.
Yeah. Like, there's going to be more of this.
Yep.
Because let's think about it. Well, we'll talk about what private equity is, and then we'll think about how it's going to get rolled out. So what is private equity? It's really those two words. Let's just break them apart, right? We've got equity. I'll start with that one first. That's ownership in a business. Mm-hmm. Most of us experience equity in the public market, meaning I buy into a stock that's publicly traded.
On an exchange, yeah.
On an exchange. I can get my money out daily if I'm in a public equity investment. The price will fluctuate daily. I might be happy some days, mad others. But I can get my money out. It's liquid. Mm-hmm. Private equity is still equity, but it's private. And what does private mean? It means it does not trade on a stock exchange.
It's not transparent. No, I'm just kidding.
It may not be that transparent.
Yeah.
It typically costs a lot more money in terms of the fees involved in a private equity fund as opposed to a traditional mutual fund of public stocks or an ETF. An exchange-traded fund. Other characteristics. Well, let me go back to the fees for a second. Typically, mutual funds may charge about 1% to manage a public stock portfolio. ETFs might charge, in some cases, 0.1%.
Yeah.
So a fraction of the cost of a mutual fund.
Yes.
Private equity, the fees are much higher.
Yeah.
They might be hitting for like 2% management fee. So double what the mutual fund charges plus 20% of the profits on top of that.
Yes.
Like that's where a lot of the wealth that's been created in the financial world has been made. It's from having a 2-20 type of structure.
Yeah.
And sometimes you pay all those fees and you don't even get the return of the S&P 500.
Right. So it's like I could have invested a lot less and kept a lot more of the profits or the earnings.
and had the optionality to get my money out.
And had the option to get my money out. Yes, exactly. So, like you, I have mixed feelings about it, right? I like that there is access to people who normally wouldn't have access. Like, you have to be eligible to participate in private equity opportunities.
Correct.
Outside of, you know, this new rule that allows you to do so inside the 401k. I like the options, right? I like that people who have been excluded from certain wealth building opportunities may now have access.
Yeah.
At the same time, for all the reasons you mentioned on the negative side, makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. I'm skeptical of Wall Street. Like, I just am. Like,
I'm skeptical of Wall Street, but I'm even more skeptical of the people behind this opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm going to get accused of being all the ists and isms after this, but there is a recording circulating. I was going to say the internet, but it's on social media, of Bernie Sanders talking about the wealth disparity.
Okay.
Not just between the haves and the have-nots, but about the wealth disparity of the people who are in control and who are making decisions.
Lord.
And the people who are not. That is a real, real concern, because it feels like we're headed towards a place where a handful of people hold 90% of our country's wealth, and they make all the decisions because they hold all the cards.
Yeah.
That's a little scary. And I don't see this.
You don't see this as a power to the people moment? You see this as a chance for the wealthy private equity owner to extract more wealth from everyday Americans.
Yep.
That's an interesting point.
I worry about that. So
now the counterpoint is that pension plans, which cover the majority of Americans, but certainly a lot of Americans, they've been investing in private equity for 100 years.
Yeah.
And yet the 401k, which is the replacement, has not had access to this.
It's a fair point.
And private equity, not every fund, of course, but on average has done a little better than the public equity market, which is what ordinary folks have access to.
Yeah.
So
it's a fair point.
It's like, I don't know where I land on it yet, but I do know that you got to be skeptical.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to be.
It's again, for me, the bigger concern is the people who are making the decisions.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think they really care about access people.
You brought up a great point. I have a client that hit us up this week. He's like, can you invest my money like Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
And these other particular senators. Mm-hmm. I actually found an ETF that's tracking, and we bought some.
I heard from our senior analyst.
I'm like, hey, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we need to go to break again. And when we come back, we'll leave some tips about how to approach these new opportunities. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Momentum.
All right, so we're back.
Yeah, and we are talking about all the ways that we don't trust the government. No, we're talking about
401ks. We don't have enough time for that.
We're talking about 401ks. Yeah, I think it's, you know, six on one hand, half a dozen on the other. I think it's just like a chance for us to be a lot more vigilant, you know, because here's what I also know about private equity. There's a lot of, like, they call it selection bias, meaning like your experience is based on which ones you select or have access to.
Yeah.
Often the best, most exclusive private equity and hedge funds is like really hard to access. The things that are widely available are typically not as good.
Right.
And I'm not like trying to throw shade or anything, but I mentioned like Goldman had a number of blowups in their private equity and hedge fund business. And by getting in bed with T. Rowe Price, it's like they view that as a distribution channel to a cadre of people who don't know any better. Mm-hmm. I hate to put it like that.
That's what they're banking on.
Yeah. So pros, it's a chance to invest in an asset class that has done better than stocks. Cons, a lot of fees, not very liquid, and you may not be in the best private equity out there.
Yeah. There's the lack of transparency.
Yeah.
Compared to,
that's another one,
you know, investments that are publicly traded.
Yeah, talk about that though. Like when you buy a mutual fund, like you can look up the exact holdings to the dollar of what you own.
Yes. But in a private equity fund, you may not know everything that's that you own.
Yeah.
Or you may not know how everything you own is performing. It's just not as transparent because they're hard to value.
Yeah. Yeah, you might not know what's in it. It definitely won't be valued. Like by the time you see the value, it's stale.
It's a month old.
It's a month.
At least.
It's 90 days.
If
it's
not a
quarter.
Year. Yes.
Yeah. So how are they going to roll this thing out? So I will say that this is a 2026 thing. It is not out there yet.
You think they have a plan for how they're going to roll this out?
Well, here's what the president did with his executive order. He said, y'all have 180 days to figure it out. Mm. We need regulations to be updated. Because this is really like not...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying he said they need regulations. I'm like, he said that? But yeah. I know what you're saying. You're saying regulations need to be updated so that these are allowed.
That's right. Basically, 180 days for the SEC to consider ways for this to happen. 180 days for the private market participants to figure out, for the 401k providers to figure it out. So, you know, it is estimated that by kind of middle of next year, this is going to start rolling out.
And I was going to say, because 180 days or 6 months, that sounds like a long time, but it's not really.
It's not. It's not.
For something as impactful as this.
And we have a whole new SEC. Like this new SEC, they're embracing cryptocurrency. Like they're really
amazing.
Yeah. Like it's.
What turned around so quickly?
He just got fired a person that was holding back progress. Like
exactly.
Yeah. So private equity and 401ks, how are they going to roll it out? Most likely, they are going to stuff it into target date funds. Mm. What's a target date fund? It's one of these funds that just has a year in the name, right? I expect to retire in 20 years, so I buy the 2045 fund.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a good place to put it, right, Andrea?
And presumably, these target date funds, the allocation gets more conservative as you get closer to the target date.
Correct.
That's so, what we have been
told.
Told.
All right. So here's, this was in our group text this week.
Yes,
for the
it was.
Company.
I know exactly where you're going.
A 2045 target date fund, which is in 20 years, which implies the person's in their 40s. Knowing nothing else about the person, someone in their 40s should have about what percentage in stocks?
You're going to say 60.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Let's just say somewhere in the 50 to 70% range. Mm-hmm. Can we? Okay.
Okay.
We looked up this target date fund and it had 92% in stock, mm-hmm. a 2045 fund. Well, ask Alan why he thinks it's 92% stock.
Why, Alan, do you think it's 92% stock?
All right, because I know how Wall Street works.
Mm-hmm.
Target date funds are basically what's called a fund of funds. They don't call it that, but it's really what it is. It's a fund that owns other funds.
Yep.
It gives the money management firm a chance to double dip, right? They get to charge a fee for the target date fund, and there's fees inside.
And the underlying funds.
And if you have with the target date fund, the money management firm gets to pick the allocation.
Yes.
And they've got a huge incentive to pick the higher price funds.
Right.
Which happen to be stock funds.
Yep.
I'll stop talking when I stop telling the truth.
That's a good one.
That's Jay-Z.
Oh, okay. See, I told you I don't be knowing. My hip hop knowledge starts to fade after about 2005. You give me 85 to 2005, I'm good.
The golden era is when you stop listening. Yeah.
It's when I stopped retaining
lyrics. Okay.
I just little bits and pieces here and there, but whole songs.
So mm-mm. I shouldn't ask you about Whammy Whammy then?
Absolutely not.
Wham Whammy?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I just, that's real.
Yeah.
I'm over here like, that's a good one. That's a shame.
You should write that down.
Boy, that good. That boy good.
So they're going to probably stuff him in target date funds. And target date funds, in my opinion, have already shown that you can't mess with them. Like when we have clients, like the first, and they ask us to help them with their 401k allocations, first thing we do is take them either out of target date funds or put them in a completely different one that's a better fit for their investments.
If it's available, yeah.
Like someone that's retiring in 20 years, we might put them in the 2035 fund because it's a better fit.
Yeah. But it takes some analysis to evaluate what they really own. And it's just hard to do. So, you know, sometimes I've struggled with someone who's just beginning investing in a 401k or something like that. Sometimes it looks like the target date fund is a good idea to get started.
Yeah.
But then after you start to accumulate some significant dollars, then it's like, yeah, let's talk about shifting this a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's really, really hard to figure out what they're really owning.
Yeah.
But you don't want them, you know, in a stable value fund either, just because.
Yeah, it's a money market.
It's hard.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's cash. Yeah. Like I like a target date over just sitting in cash.
Yes.
I like you sitting in cash over not participating, right? Like there's always, it's always a continuum.
Yes.
So target date funds are not bad, but again, a lot of folks buy them unadvisedly.
Mm-hmm.
They think that that's the way to go. And the other thing, me being a person like you, Andrea, who's been in the markets a long time, when did target date funds become popular? When's the first time you felt like they were becoming a popular option? Around when?
Probably after the financial crisis.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's the right answer.
So let me run that back for a second. We have the worst financial market since the Great Depression. And then a new product comes out.
Yeah.
And if you looked up a target date fund today and you said, well, how's it done in the last 10 years? That's a long period of time.
Yep.
That should be a good amount of time for me to evaluate this investment. Well, 10 years ago was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And the financial crisis had already happened.
Yes.
So meaning like these things proliferated in a time when we haven't really had a tough market cycle. Even the COVID crisis we had, as bad as it was on the world, the market bounced back like almost immediately.
Quickly. It was months.
And so I don't believe they've been tested.
Yeah.
And when they do get tested, I think folks are going to feel very, very different about target date funds.
So now it makes me want to go back to 22, when stocks and bonds both struggled.
Oh, they struggled
quite a bit. But I'm just curious, how much did they struggle? Did they struggle as much as everything else, more than everything else?
They had to.
Or less, but...
Yeah, they had to.
It's just my own curiosity. Yeah. Now I want to go back and see.
Other changes. Crypto.
Yes.
So the DOL, Department of Labor, just rescinded the 2022 guidance that discouraged fiduciaries from including cryptocurrencies into 401k plans, and all that's going away.
Open it all up. Do everything.
Same argument for why private equity's not
exactly
in hedge funds. Pension funds have it.
Yep.
In fact, Michigan's largest pension plan has $44 million worth of Bitcoin and $30 million in Ethereum. They paid, so that's about $74 million worth of crypto. They paid $37 million for it, right? So it's doubled. It's more than doubled. And Michigan's pension is one of the best performing pensions, even though that crypto is only 1% of its portfolio. People are like, oh, that's why they're performing so well. So why would we keep y'all regular folks back?
Yeah.
Right? Now, we also know that our president just launched a whole crypto firm, his family. His family made $5 billion in paper profits overnight when they launched their latest coin. So now it's coming for your 401k. I'm not saying don't do it.
Yeah, but it's like any other investment, right? You don't want to be overweight in something that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say risky. I'm going to say something that lacks the transparency that you're used to. All the things, all the reasons why we said, you know, proceed with caution.
Years ago, Warren Buffett said he wouldn't buy all the Bitcoin in the world for $25. He said Bitcoin doesn't produce any cash flow and he doesn't like it. I'm not saying Warren Buffett is right, because there's on the other side of the coin, there's people that said that if Bitcoin is digital gold, the market cap of all the Bitcoin in the world today is something like 10% of the market cap of gold.
Yeah.
That implies Bitcoin's going to go up like 10x just to be on parity with gold. Like,
what's interesting though, if I take his words literally, he wouldn't buy all the crypto in the world for $25.
All like, the Bitcoin in the world.
All the Bitcoin in the world for $25. For $25, I might.
I definitely would.
Because it's $25. But I do understand his point about it not producing cash flow, so on and so forth. But I'm like,
Yeah. So we're in a home stretch. What should we do? We've been talking about it all along. Like, number one, like, stay informed. Monitor your investments. Look under the hood. We did a whole show about what's in the bag.
Yes.
In 2026, it is more important, or it will be more important than ever, to know what's in the bag.
That's right.
Number two, understand that target date funds are risky. Like, that's right now. Like, that's not a 2026 thing. Like, take some time. Like, go to Morningstar.com. Type in your target date fund just by name and look at the percentages of stocks versus bonds. Remember, we tell you, you know, knowing nothing else about you, your age and your bond percentage should be somewhere in the same zip code, right? If you're 30 years old, 30% in bonds.
I'm way too aggressive, bro.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's okay. I'm okay to take that risk.
Other things, be diversified. Like, we talked about the Michigan pension plan doing so well. 1% is in Bitcoin.
Yeah, like,
1% might be enough.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then finally, I know we talked about a bunch of changes and it may seem confusing, but don't let all of these changes scare you away from investing in the 401k.
That part. And confirming that you are enrolled. If you are enrolled. I mean, that's how this all started, right?
I got about 7, maybe 8% going in every paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen?
Meanwhile, they don't even have direct deposit.
One of the late night.
Go ahead, Dre.
One of the late night comedians, I want to say it's Jimmy Kimmel, will like just ask random people on the street about different things just to see what they're going to say. Yeah, man on the street. And I'm just like, this feels like that.
Yeah, it kind of does.
This feels like that man on the street type.
Yeah.
Type of survey, but.
So I hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. If you want to have a more in-depth and personal conversation with either Andrea or myself, or both, visit our website, momentum-advisors.com. As always, you can follow us on the socials at Momentum Advice on Twitter, which we hardly tweet anymore since it's been taken over by vandals. We're at Instagram sometimes at Momentum Advisors. And you can always find us on all the podcast platforms. Like and subscribe. Leave us a review, by the way. We haven't asked for that in a while.
Tell us how we're doing.
Yeah.
Tell us what you like.
We got a verbal 5 stars today. I'll tell my mom about that.
We did.
But keep listening. We'll be back in a week.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.
has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.